Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Tis the season for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and you guys get the first opportunity to hear that we have Gen Health available at a 50% discount for the annual membership. And that's not just 50% off right now, but any year you decide to stay on with us, you get 50% off your annual membership. No discount code needed. Just head to gen.health/free trial and explore what we have available. This is your time to sign up for a free week and just see what's possible within your body. Just the other day, I got this amazing email from Karen, and she said, I feel so supported by you and all of the content. I know I've said it a few times in previous emails, but I'm so glad I joined. It's a game-changing, life-changing experience, especially after a couple decades of in-person PT that amounted to just putting a Band-Aid on the problem most of the time. The responses that we're able to hear from people who are doing the low back plan, the shoulder plan, or our full body plans that have workouts included where I'm fully guiding you so you better understand how to support your body in building mobility and strength long term. I cannot tell you the incredible feedback that we get and how we're just going to continue to move forward and make this platform even better. So get in now while we have this incredible 50% discount, because it's not here to stay. And the more that we continue to build and make this platform even better, we're not going to have discounts like this low available anymore. So make sure you get in right now. It's Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Start and end the year giving back to your body and knowing that you're going to continue into the new year doing just that. So why not? Now is the time to start. Get into Gen Health. That's gen.health/free trial, or head to the link in our show notes. Today, we want to go into the latest research of what we have today on low back pain and treating low back pain. Because, I mean, especially in our world of social media, it is do this, don't do this. This is going to hurt you. This is going to make everything better. Like, there's so much nuance, especially for low back pain. It could be really hard to understand what is really effective, what you need to be paying attention to, and what's going to help long-term, especially when it comes to chronic low back pain.
And low back pain is a huge one because it's one of the most prevalent and persistent things in society. Yes. And it accounts for the most missed days from work. It accounts for some of the largest monetary burden on our healthcare system and on our economy in general, just from all those missed days from work and missed days of productivity. So if we could find the solution to chronic low back pain, it would help everyone out. Mm-hmm. And the challenge is it's just not that easy because there is so much that goes into chronic and persistent low back pain that there isn't just that one answer that everyone wants. And that's where I would caution everyone, the social media mongers who are trying to say you need this thing or you need this device or you need this program to completely fix your low back pain. Like, have caution when you hear that. They're targeting you and they're targeting low back pain in general because it's something that's so prevalent and it's because it's something that so many people deal with at some point throughout their life. They know that the people that they can potentially catch are plenty. So have caution if you find someone who's trying to sell that fix-all solution.
Right, especially when they're demonizing other things. And I think that's what's really important to remember, because there are certain theories of application when it comes to treating different types of pains, and people will become obsessed. This is the one way, this is the one method, this is the one thing that we should be doing, and this is going to cure all, where that's really not the case. There's different tools that we can always choose from. There's different exercises that can always be helpful and beneficial, but to say that one is better than the other is to say that we're all the same human, and we're not. Yeah. And we're all going to respond to things differently. So remembering to not get too far down the rabbit hole of this is the only thing, or this is my therapist is trained in this, and that is the best method for everything, where that is one method, that is one tool, that is not everything. And so be open-minded.
That's where we caution people, even when we're reading research, being able to take research and apply it to everyone, like that doesn't really exist. That isn't right. something that we should do. Even if in the research it says doing this exercise is better than this exercise for getting rid of back pain, for any random individual, it could be the opposite. Mm-hmm. They could find better benefit doing exercise B than exercise A, which the research said was the gold standard. And that's why when we're dealing with individuals, especially as practitioners and people who deal with people in pain,
people who have a low back plan,
we need to be able to look at them as individuals.
Yes.
Taking a quick pause from the episode to talk about something that has been absolutely vital in both Jen and my nutrition journey, especially when we were looking at conceiving and taking care of Jen when she was in her prenatal and postpartum stages, and that is Needed. Needed offers products that are formulated by experts in women's health and recommended by over 6,000 practitioners. Now, we absolutely love Needed because you won't find unnecessary fillers, poor nutrient forms, unsustainably sourced ingredients, or heavy metal loads in any of their supplements. They truly are at the cutting edge of the research and participating in the research to make sure that women are truly getting what is needed. Now, something I really love about Needed is it's not just prenatal and postpartum supplements. They have something for everybody. When we were looking to get pregnant, I was taking their sperm support and their male multivitamin, and they have whatever you're looking for, regardless of the stage of life. So even if you're not looking at becoming pregnant or in that postpartum phase, they have something for you. So if you want to start optimizing your nutrition game, head over to thisisneeded.com and use code OPTIMAL for 20% off your first order. That's thisisneeded.com and use code OPTIMAL for 20% off your first order. All right, let's get back into the episode.
So let's dive into, you know, exactly understanding this too. When we talk about acute versus chronic low back pain, what does that mean? What category are you falling into? So when we talk about acute low back pain, you know, that's typically defined as under 6 weeks. It suddenly came on 6 weeks later. Maybe you didn't even do anything and it's gone, right? Yeah. So that is where we're talking about acute. Subacute is in that like 6 to 12 week area of having dealt with it. And then chronic is anything over 3 months or everything over 12 weeks, you know, and that could be up to years, especially when we're talking on and off chronic low back pain, right? And so just think of like, okay, what category do I fall into? Especially if you're like, oh, well, I'm not dealing with it today, but I've dealt with it last week. You know, this, you could still be falling into that chronic category.
And that's something that often isn't captured in that chronic definition is like, okay, it's been less than 6 weeks, but this is something that's recurring or this is something that has come back here and there over the past 5 or 10 years.
Right.
That would land you more in that chronic or persistent low back pain category. And the main questions that we're going to be answering or trying to talk about today are for acute back pain, what do I do for exercise? How much exercise do I do without aggravating or inflaming my acute bout of low back pain? And with chronic, there's a bunch of different kind of subcategories we want to hit on, from overcoming the deconditioning, fear of movement that has developed because this pain that we have, central sensitization, which is essentially a concept that the more that you feel this pain, the more sensitive your nervous system becomes to that pain. So it takes less of a stimulus to flare up that pain. And then different psychological factors that go into these persistent episodes of low back pain.
Which is, you know, kind of the first thing we want to talk about is that context when it comes to low back pain, and talking about the thing that we have to remember is that when people improve from low back pain, especially chronic low back pain, you know, it's not all due to that one active thing that you did, which was the exercise protocol, the exercise program, whatever that person put you through. But there are contextual, you know, effects, thinking about the expectations you had going into a certain treatment protocol or seeing a certain person, that relationship that you had with that person or that therapist or that trainer, and then the environment that you were in, whether it was supportive or not. So these are all the things that really play a huge role when it comes to low back pain and getting out of these bouts of low back pain. And so when we're looking at, like we looked at Desrode et al. Meta-analysis, and they pulled 8 different randomized control trials comparing exercise versus placebo sham in non-specific low back pain populations. And so what it suggests is that about 60% of the observed pain reduction and about 69% of the disability change may stem from the contextual rather than that specific exercise.
Yeah, which is...
That's huge.
Which is huge. And I talk about this often, and I don't think I've brought it up often, my crunchy peanut butter example of like, if you go into a treatment or go into a professional and truly believe in this person, you have a great rapport with them, they are awesome, they seem to match you on every level energetically and everything, and you believe in the treatment that they're doing to help improve your pain, that's essentially what this is saying, that 60% of that belief and that environment and that relationship with that person, that is responsible for 60% of the pain reduction that you're getting and 69% of the disability change, which essentially means like, oh, I was struggling to sit in my car for a long period because of my back pain, and now I can sit in a car for much longer.
Yeah, that's true functional change.
So just those contextual factors accounted for almost 2/3 of the change that these patients experienced. And of course, that comes from statistical analysis that these people do. But I believe that.
Well, and that we also have to say, okay, you know, some of that evidence was rated as low due to risk of bias and small sample sizes and stuff like this. So we can't say that this was the best, you know, recent research that we've had. But what we can say is that context matters, not taking away from exercise and continual movement, because we all know that plays a role. But we have to understand how much context matters. And a lot of the people who have been through Gen Health who stick around is because we have these monthly calls, or they're able to reach out to Dom and I, and we listen. We take the time to hear their story. We take the time to understand why they've been having pain. We take the time to guide them into where we think that they should be starting and give them accountability and support, where sometimes you go into offices and no one has time to really hear your story. No one has time to believe all the things that you have been through or take the time to listen to it. And so automatically you're feeling dismissed almost walking into a door sometimes.
Absolutely. Especially if you are coming back for the second or third or fourth time for the same issue. Mm-hmm. In one of the clinics that I worked in, and I hated it when the people that I worked with would say this, that someone would walk in and just say like, oh, they're a frequent flyer, or they're a trouble patient, or they're a, you know, someone who comes back consistently for the same thing. And inevitably those people reflect that attitude. When I sit down with them, they say like, yep, this isn't going to help. I've been here 5 times already. Mm-hmm. Same thing. They just keep sending me back. Why can't I just go get the injection? Mm-hmm. That type of thing. And those people inevitably would not show improvement, versus the person who, some of those people, I became the person who they would send all of these people to, because like Jen said, I was willing to sit and listen to their story and talk to them and try to play armchair therapist along with physical therapist. Mm-hmm. And some of them converted. Some of them came over and said, oh, I've never had anyone do breath work with me. Or, mm-hmm. oh, I've never had someone try this thing. And I could see them tipping into that like little bit of belief that some of this crazy stuff that I want to do with them is maybe going to change. And in those cases, it would.
And that's the thing I think is also important to remember, is that someone else could have given them breath work. Someone else could have told them to do this one little thing. But because they trusted and they built rapport with you because they felt safe enough to be seen and all these things, it would have a completely different effect on how someone would actually do it, how they'd feel it, and the effect that it would feel long term. And that's what's so important here. Like, you have to trust and believe in something enough to be able to see the result. There are people who also I've talked to who have come to Gen Health who are so skeptical. Like, oh, I've already done so many things. Why would this help? What makes it different? How is this different from that? And I'm like, well, I don't know what that other thing is that you are talking about, yeah. First of all. And so I'm not here to play comparison or say why I'm the best, but I'm here to help guide. And if you're open to understanding there could be something that you can feel that is different. If you give something an opportunity, there could be a possibility. And we have to believe in that possibility, especially when we're in chronic pain. And it is the hardest thing because you get to this point in your brain where it's just like, this is what I live with. This is my everyday. This is never going to change. This is my life. And you have to be willing to let your guard down enough to say, but what if something could change?
Yeah. What if? And what if it takes me 5 more tries, 10 more tries? Yeah. Like having that persistence, and I know being someone who doesn't necessarily or hasn't necessarily experienced this and experienced the frustration of that journey, it's easy for me to say.
Totally.
So I can imagine it's very hard to do, but give that next provider a chance and mm-hmm. give them your all and show up and truly believe that they might be the one. They might be the one that can give you the tools to help empower yourself through this journey.
Right.
So I think that was great to kind of set the stage. And I think that is a scope that we don't look through enough when we look at research. Because when we look at research, we look more at human beings as numbers. You know, it was like, oh, they did this exercise and they had this score. They did this exercise and they had this score. Even when people are doing research studies, there is so much contextual factors as to how researchers are applying the treatments to their patients. And it's so hard to tease out that nuance or take out the contextual factors completely as a variable. So that's just a side note. But keep that in mind as we start talking about, okay, for chronic low back pain, how much should I be exercising? Yeah. What types of exercises should I be doing? There are, of course, a lot of studies that look at this. And one of these first research studies done by Liang and his crew essentially looked at how much exercise, what should the total load of exercise that we do every week be? Because going on a walk for 30 minutes is a lot different than sprinting for 30 minutes, right? They have different loads, same amount of time. So they use this thing called MET minutes, which essentially is like, okay, it multiplies how long you worked out and how hard you worked out together. The numbers aren't really going to mean anything to people, but they said that 920 MET minutes per week was where they saw the greatest benefit, and meaningful clinically important improvement was seen at 520 MET minutes. To give some context to that, jumping rope has a RPE or this MET score of about 9.2. So jumping rope for 100 minutes would be that 920. Not 100 minutes straight, but if you did like 15 minutes a day, that would end you around that 920.
Yeah, that's a good example. And I think, you know, when we pull out more of this meta-analysis, Pilates actually emerged as one of the modalities that was pronounced to affect in that analysis, which is, you know, we want to look at, you know, what are the different types of exercise as well that people are seeing that is going to have an effect on what they're feeling in their low back pain. And what I can say, I did teach Pilates as I was going through college and undergrad and grad school. And what Pilates really helps you to dive into within your body is this coordination, control, and you really slow down the movement. Like you build so much awareness of, because you're stopping, you're holding, you're pulsing, you're moving in all these different ways. You're doing it slow. You're doing it controlled. So when we think of a lot of like workout programs where we're just trying to sweat and we're in a big community, we're just trying to get it done and you're just working fast. And this is actually something that makes you slow down, that makes you focus in and build that awareness. You know, that could be something to look at when we're talking about this chronic low back pain, something that builds in that coordination, that trust in your body and that control again to feel something different. Again, not saying that Pilates is what everyone should be doing when they have low back pain, but could it be potentially a you know, some of these key factors to keep doing the movement that you love, but maybe you're slowing it down. Maybe you're holding in different positions. Maybe you're building that awareness, no matter what type of exercise it is, that has some of those same key concepts.
Pilates, I just looked it up, has a metabolic equivalent of task met value of about 3.5 to 3.8. So that essentially would be 3 to 4 Pilates classes
a week.
A week, right?
Doable.
Depending on how long the class is and how intense it is. Okay, so this next study that looked at chronic low back pain looked more at session durations and how many times per week and how long the program was. And they honed in on session durations of 15 to 30 minutes having a stronger effect size or a stronger impact. It says 60 plus minutes also yielded significant effect sizes. But again, this is all dependent on the intensity. You know, 15 to 30 minutes, if you're going at a slightly higher intensity, that's probably not something you're going to want to do for 60 plus minutes. The intervention periods of the length of the program, 4, 12, and 16 weeks all showed benefit, with 16 weeks or greater showing the strongest effect, which makes a lot of sense to us. And then as far as the frequency, 3 sessions per week emerged as the most effective in the ranking analysis.
And what they found in that study was talking about Tai Chi scoring the highest in terms of the exercise protocol. And I would, you know, how I relate that again back to Pilates is it's slowing down the movement, it's coordinating the movement, and it's building an awareness in your body. Again, those 3 components that I think are so crucial and sometimes highly neglected. Like I think of, you know, the workout my sister loves to do in the morning, and I love it for her because she gets to go to a community and a group class, and she commits to something to do almost daily, which is so great. But it's fast paced, it's timed, you're just kind of working on your own, you don't have anyone really watching you very closely. So when we think about, oh, someone in pain, those kind of communities can be good because it builds in that social aspect and maybe it makes you feel good. But also, what are you doing to build in that slow, coordinated movement, that like coming back into control for your own body? I think looking at Tai Chi and Pilates in those ways, like just think about that in your life. Am I adding some of those movements in?
And this can be difficult if you were somebody who your exercise modality of choice was something like HIIT workouts or heavy strength training in the gym with barbells or Olympic lifting even, or things that are very intense that may seem just like light years away because of this pain journey you've been on. These exercise styles that Jen is talking about, that's just building the base back.
Right.
Right. And that's not the forever. Like you don't need to be doing Tai Chi. You don't need to be doing Pilates forever. And if it's something that you can start to find ways to work in for that initial 16 plus week period, and as you notice you're gaining benefit, that's when we progress. And that's when we find, okay, how can I start doing some light resistance training?
Right.
Getting back on my journey to going under the barbell, build back that confidence, build back that coordination that Jen was talking about. Because when we deal with people who are in chronic low back pain, it really impacts things like our coordination, our ability for our brain to just map certain movement patterns. Mm-hmm. Our muscles fire a little bit differently because our body starts to get into this tendency to guard against certain movements or to guard, to try and protect. And that's where yoga, Pilates, Tai Chi are going to be the modalities that can really help build back that confidence, awareness, support.
But that's why I would say, like, you can still strength train. Maybe we're just not under a barbell. Maybe we're doing goblet squat and we're doing tempo squat, right? Rather than just like going up and down for time, you are now going down in a count of 4 or 5, and then you're pausing, and then you're coming back up at a certain, at 2 count, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You're doing some kind of tempo, slowing it down, getting some isometric holds.
Yeah.
Like you're doing some kind of controlled movement. And when you do that controlled movement, you're going to start to see, oh, I tend to want to lean back, or I tend to want to round. I tend to over arch in my back when I'm doing squats.
I tend to start feeling my pain here.
Yes.
And how can I adjust so that I'm not feeling that as much? which, to Jen's point, this is where it's great to have a professional who can start to lay that initial program for you. Like, I like strength training. Okay, we're going to do tempo strength training. It's probably different than you've ever done before, but it's going to help you build back that confidence in some of these strength movements and build back that awareness of how your body's moving in these different patterns.
Yeah. And I think remembering, okay, that sweet spot to at least bare minimum, I'm in pain. Am I getting about 15 to 30 minutes a day of intentional, slow down, controlled movement 3 times a week? Like, can I do that? And am I doing it not just a week or two, not just 4 weeks, but am I doing that over a 16-week period at least, right? Yeah. Like, this is what we're looking at. It takes time. And that's why it's like, it's so hard when I even do, like, we've done a low back challenge on Gen Health, and that's 30 days, which is a great start. But there are 3 phases of that, of just the low back plan. And then we've had people, what some of our biggest wins from people, and what one that I can think of right now, he went through the low back plan, then he went through the core plan, then he went through the full body low impact plan. And it took a year to go through all of these plans to have 0 complaints of pain and be able to get back into the things that he loved, lifting more, feeling more confident in his body, all these things. And it took a year.
And thinking about all of the research that we're going through and how those plans are formulated, it starts building back in that intention. And then he gets into the core plan where he's building the core support and full body low impact, which is a strength training plan. So he has that progression. Because even kind of one of the takeaways was, although the choice of modality matters, like we mentioned with Pilates, Tai Chi, and core or motor control exercises, it's less important than consistency, adherence, and progression.
Yes.
Again, context matters. That first study that we talked about, context matters. So if you hate with a passion Pilates, don't choose that.
Don't do it.
Don't choose that. Same with Tai Chi. Same with just doing core exercises or yoga. Find the way to do your exercise of choice in a way that's appropriate for where you're at.
Yes.
And that will give you the contextual benefits on top of the benefits of moving, the benefits of movement.
Then when we look at, okay, well, what exercise is best when we're talking from acute back pain in those less than 6 weeks to subacute, and what can we say here? And, you know, there are very few high quality randomized control trials of exercise versus placebo in this truly acute low back pain. And partially because they recover spontaneously. Like this, we're talking under 6 weeks. So how do you find someone? How do you find enough people in a group who you all have back pain right now happening? We can study you right now. Or like, oh, you have low back pain, I'm going to study you. Then I'm going to, you know, like, those studies would be really hard to do. So also understanding that appropriate, just generalized movement, gradually loading back into the activity rather than thrusting back into it, just doing that on your own can result in you getting out of pain.
Yeah, a high percentage of acute low back pain cases resolve spontaneously, like Jen said. So tough to research, but the main recommendations are don't have a prolonged period of rest.
Yes.
Because our body needs movement. Our body craves movement. Even if there's soreness, even if there's pain, we have to find a way to start getting engagement and activation.
Which we have a podcast on, and we go through different exercises if you've like thrown out your back.
Yeah.
We have a podcast on this with directed exercises that you should start with.
Yeah. So start with gentle movement. Grade it based on your own symptoms, and then slowly and gradually progress, doing your best to not hit that threshold where you're aggravating something. And if you need to, please see someone in person, because that's going to be the best way to have a professional there with you to help you find those barriers without going too far too soon.
And one of the biggest things, especially when it comes to chronic low back pain, that is so important to remember is the psychological factors behind it and the fear that we make up based on having it. Oh, I have low back pain. I can no longer bend over. I have low back pain. I can't round my back. I can't lift heavy anymore. I've had people tell me, Well, I've been told that I can't ever go underweight anymore. I can't load my body because I have low back pain. And I'm like, well, how are you going to function in life? You can't pick anything up then. That makes no sense.
Yeah, pick anything up. Even if you walk upstairs too quickly, you put a significant, you know, a decent amount of load through your spine and your back. So it's just like, these things don't make sense. If you hear providers saying you can't do this exercise anymore, you can't load your body anymore, you can't resistance train anymore,
you can't round your spine anymore.
Those are just silly things to say and are only going to promote more fear in people.
Yes.
And so we need to find a way as providers to be a part of the solution when it comes to people who are struggling with fear of movement or, you know, have these different avoidance behaviors because of an extended amount of pain, because that is real. And we need to help be there for those people and not be something that is perpetuating those fears.
But someone who's also consuming social media, you have to get better at saying, if someone is demonizing this movement, if someone's saying this movement is horrible and bad, it probably is not. They're just trying to get views and clicks. Probably not bad. There's a certain graded, you know, amount that we can expose ourselves to, and we have to be able to do it gradually over time. That doesn't mean that it's bad. And just because you got hurt doing a movement also doesn't mean that it's bad. Maybe we were unprepared for that movement. Okay. Yeah. That's mostly what's happening within our body, or we didn't sleep, or we've been in a very stressful time, or someone just died in our family. And then we went to strength training and our body wasn't, you know, isn't prepared to take on that capacity of stress on top of already having stress. Like, we have to understand mechanical stress and psychological stress, environmental stress, everything that's going on in our life can be compounded and result in us feeling these injuries and pain. It all goes together as one. So don't ever think that we are trying to tear down a movement pattern or something. One of the best things that you can do is say, okay, this didn't work for me this way. How can I do it differently? And that's something that Anthony Lowe, who's another physical therapist, I went to one of his courses. And that was the main thing that I got out of that weekend. It wasn't ever about do it this way, or this is the wrong way, or this is the right way. It was, okay, that felt weird to you. That hurt. Can you do it differently? How can you do it differently? And it's really finding that what's going to work within your body to then be able to gradually get it better, whether it's doing more repetitions, more load, or more weight, to be able to feel more confident in that movement. But I'm just so passionate about this, because when we continue to tear down different movement forms or say whether you should do a Jefferson curl or you shouldn't do a Jefferson curl, you shouldn't ever round your back, That's not the question that we should be asking here. It's, what can I do for my body right now, and how can I gradually get it better?
And Jen, after everything that we talked about, Jen talked about this a little bit ago, how there's not one specific plan for low back pain. We have a low back plan. We have a low back plan on Jen Health, our platform. And this is something that has really helped a lot of people start to explore a bunch of different movements that could be impacting the low back, from hip mobility to upper back mobility, getting the core active again. And it's a graded and gradual plan that starts with phase one, and there's three phases that are all 30 days long. So it can really give someone a great 3-month runway of things to explore.
And I really am trying not to take much of your time. It's like 5 to 15 minutes. Keep doing what else you want to do.
Yeah, it's 5 to 15 minutes of your day, because the consistency, the adherence to your program, as we saw through all this research, those are the most important things. And we have a Black Friday sale coming up next week, so we wouldn't want everyone to miss out on that. So if anybody wanted to get our Black Friday discount, get started on the low back plan, you have a free week trial. You can go to jen.health/free trial. That will get you our Black Friday discount. And if you decide to stay with us for an additional year, you will always be in at that price. So come join us. Come join our movement community. Jen does lives once a month with the Jen Health community. We're always there through email to answer your questions. You can email us if you have questions about this podcast at jen@jen.health. That's all we have to say. Hopefully you learned something. Thanks so much for joining us for another episode from the Optimal Body Podcast. And before you go, I just wanted to read this little thing that Karina shared with Jen. Hi, I just wanted to say a huge thank you for creating Jen.health. I know it may sound dramatic, but this platform literally changed my life. For many years, I had pain and tension in my body that couldn't be relieved by yoga or lifting weights at the gym. I thought I was doing all the right things, trying to build muscle and stretching, expecting the pain and tension to go away, but it didn't work. Now, after doing the therapy plans on Gen Health for almost a year, I finally understand what my body needs. I know exactly what I need to do to relieve pain and tension in my neck, shoulders, pelvic floor, or feet. The platform has given me a sense of control of how my body feels every day, and it's an amazing gift I'm extremely grateful for. You know, that's just everything, and that's everything that we want people to be able to experience, the change that you can empower in your own body. So if you had any interest in joining our Gen Health community, go to the link in the show notes. It's just gen.health/free trial, and you can get our Black Friday discount early by using code OPTIMAL30 on the annual membership. We'll see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.